Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 9 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is a social program with Mawlana Ibrahim Baum. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company right up till 10 a.m. Last week there was no program due to it being the day of Eid. And alhamdulillah, today once again we resume with our program. We are using the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Muhammad Abdul Rahman Al-Arifi, and we are busy with chapter 12 this morning, inshallah. We do have Mulana on the program telephonically. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How are you doing, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah has been very kind beyond our imagination and beyond what we deserve.
Alhamdulillah. Marana, how was the day of Eid?
Alhamdulillah, Allah shukr, Allah's fazal. Eid is a day with the family, and alhamdulillah, normally had a very, very good day with the family, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Marana, can we do a quick recap, just to bring our listeners back into picture? There was a great gap last week, and then we can inshallah look at today's chapter.
Well, Marana, now you're asking me, I don't know if my memory goes back to such a great...
well, we were busy discussing technology and children, Marana, to what extent should we give them freedom?
I think basically we were dealing, and bear in mind, of course, we do know that this book, Enjoy Your Life, is the art of interacting with people, deduced from the examples of the life of the best who had been interacting with people, and that is our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, going through various categories. We came to the category of children, and given the fact that children today, the greatest or one of the greatest challenges with regard to children is the aspect of how do we deal with technology? Do we give them free rein? Do we allow them usage, and with what conditions do we allow them usage of those tools and those aspects of technology, which while everyone agrees upon its benefit, are also wary with regard to some of its negative aspects. I think we had dealt with that. Alhamdulillah, we had a very good program and very good interaction from the listeners. Today's program continuing in the same theme of dealing with various categories of people. Today, the category is how do you deal with slaves and servants? Now, people might say that how do you deal with your own slaves and servants, but when you read what the author has written, it's not necessarily only with your own slaves and servants, but it is how do you deal with a specific category of people whom normally people would look down upon. And I think that is what the topic and the theme is for today's program.
Alhamdulillah. The SMS line to the program is 48855. That's 48855. Alternatively, you could WhatsApp on the studio number 072-786-1548, or tweet Mawlana Ibrahim Baum at Ibrahim Baum, or SMS him on 083-786-2859. We go for a commercial break. When you return, inshallah, we'll continue.
Africa. Whosoever builds a masjid, Allah builds for him a house in Jannah. Sponsor an Ibadat Musalla for only 48,000 rands, or a Jummah masjid for only 110,000 rands. Contact Africa Muslim Agency on 011-834-8685. Africa Muslims Agency. The agency that
is your child rubbing his eyes or complaining of headaches, watery or itchy eyes? Eye care for kids begins at birth. At school, 80% of a child's learning is based on vision. When last has your child had their eyes screened? An eye test examines the internal and external structure of the eyes to coordinate care for hand-eye coordination in preschoolers, glaucoma, cataracts and retinal disorders, diabetes and hypertension. Trade Route Optical for a free vision screening, an excellent investment in your health. Two pairs of glasses for 699 Rand or buy one, get one free on selected frames. Trade Route Optical. Your eyes are our concern. Shop you too next to FNB
852-I-3937. From only 19,900 per person, including airfare. Hashimi Hotel in Aqsa, 3-star hotel in Medina, 5-star hotel in Makkah, limited seats. Contact Maulana Musa Badat on 011-0400-800. That's 011-0400-800. Call now.
C
Sena approved Mug and Bean. On the Move. Now open at Total Constantia Kloof, Jim Fushia Road, just off Hendrik Potgieter Road. Come and try our giant muffins, health sandwiches, wraps, wraps, paninis, a variety of coffees, and ice freezos. Visit our car wash, jungle gym, and our Bonjour convenience store. Open 24 hours for your convenience. Telephone number 011-675-2599.
Crescent of Hope would like to thank all their sponsors for entrusting us with their Qurbani. All Qurbani in all areas have been completed successfully under supervision of our members and the ulama.
If you're looking for a fast-paced, informative, and captivating program to accompany you on your drive home, then Your World Today with Mufti Yusuf Musaji is definitely for you. The program brings you major highlights of happenings during the day with a national and international flavor. It covers a wide range of contemporary Islamic discussion, tafsir of the Noble Quran. Tune in daily between 5 to 8 p.m. Don't miss Your World Today, only on Radio Islam International.
Maulana Habib Bobat at Habib Bobat.
It's just gone 60 minutes past the hour of 9. You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International with Maulana Ibrahim Bam. Amara, we can start off with today's chapter, chapter number 12, the Prophet's treatment with the servants and his slaves.
Yes, Maulana, I think the author had started off that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an expert of how to win hearts using appropriate techniques. Now, in there, he has given the example of how Nabi Karim s.a.w. dealt with a class and category of people that normally we would look down upon, whether it be slaves, workers, servants, people who are in the lower rung of the community and the society, whether it be our own servants, whether it be the servants of others. We tend not to give importance to people whom we are not on the same social strata like us. Now, in this he's given a very beautiful example. The example is something that we have, many of us have heard, but let me just make mention with regard to it. That when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that the people of Makkah were not accepting Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set out for Taif, hoping that the tribe of Thaqif would be able to accept Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Taif, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met the three people who were the leaders and regarded to be noble people of Thaqif. They were the three brothers, Abd Yalil bin Amr and his brother Mas'ud and Habib, all sons of Amr bin Umair. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited them to Islam, and they not only turned against Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they ridiculed and they mocked, and then they started abusing Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them said, "I would tear off the covering of the Kaaba if Allah had sent you as a prophet." Then another said, "Did Allah not find anyone else to send?" And the third person sarcastically, Aliyadu Billah, responded, "But Allah, I would never respond to you. If you really are the messenger of Allah, then you are too dangerous to be responded to. And if you are lying, then why should I speak to you?" Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt disillusioned by what he had heard about the nobility of the Thaqif. And amazing is that afterwards the people of Thaqif did accept Islam. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Fatah of Makkah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had surrounded them and laid siege to them. And the siege took too long, and the Muslims were already out of Medina for a long time, and they could not continue with the siege. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, "Ya Rasulullah, why don't you curse them, that Allah Ta'ala's azab and punishment must come upon them?" And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allahumma." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted up his hand, and the people were listening, what did Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to say? And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allahumma hadi thaqifan wa ati bihim." Oh Allah, give hidayah to the people of Thaqif and bring them to me. And among the first delegation that came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pledge allegiance and to bring Islam was the tribe of Thaqif. Nevertheless, that is a long incident with regard to what happened. Now, when Nabi Akram s.a.w. was rejected, Nabi s.a.w. said, please keep this a secret. I came to you, you didn't accept, don't make a scene about it.
Mm.
Because if you're going to make a scene about it, then if I go back to Makkah, the people of Makkah would turn more against me, that you face our persecution, you thought that you will go nearby town, you will get some sort of recognition, they also they turn you back. So I will face greater problems. Keep it secret. But far from it being kept secret, they told the people of the town to abuse Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Until Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into the fields of two prominent people's fields, but who normally hailed from Makkah, Utbah ibn Rabi and Shayba ibn Rabi. And they that time were in Taif. And when they saw Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, although they were opposed to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing someone who was from Makkah, from Quraysh, which they also belonged to, some form of compassion came into their heart and they sent the Christian servant by the name of Addas. Addas, go and give this grapes to Muhammad. He is, after all, someone from our own tribe, and ask him to eat from them. Addas brought that plate of grapes, and he came where Nabi Karim s.a.w. was sitting with Hazrat Bilal. Nabi Karim s.a.w. was bruised and battered. According to some riwayat, the blood was flowing from the Mubarak body of Nabi Karim s.a.w. until the shoes of Nabi Karim s.a.w. had been clogged with his own blood. And Nabi Karim s.a.w. saw Addas, and when he saw him, he made salam to him. And when Addas placed the grapes in front of Nabi Karim s.a.w., Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Addas radiallahu Addas said, By Allah, no one uses these phrases. This is a phrase that is unheard of. This is a phrase that no one uses here. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then invited him towards Islam. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him with great respect and hospitality and everything. And he said, Addas, from which city do you come from? And Addas said, I'm a Christian from Ninwa. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ninwa is a place where my brother Prophet Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wa sallam comes from. Now at that time no one knew Yunus alayhi salatu wa sallam. Yunus alayhi salatu wa sallam was known by Islam afterwards. And of course we always keep this in mind that Islam had given recognition to the previous prophets to a degree even more than what the scriptures of those religions have given. I remember just very recently going in a journey and speaking to someone from the Christian faith, and amazingly he started telling me about the Bible speaking aliyadu billah, and he asked me the reason why Islam prohibits alcohol. So I gave him the reason that it befogs the intellect and you can't differentiate between right and wrong, and he turned around and said that yes, the Bible also says aliyadu billah. There are various allegations the Bible makes against certain prophets, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and one of the allegations it makes that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam drank alcohol and he was found in a drunken state at the time when he was building the ark. And I told him that our view is that the prophets of Allah are ma'asum, they do not commit sin. And you are saying with regard to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is something that I cannot identify with. And he was quite taken aback. But anyway, it's something that I just brought out. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are known through the means of Islam, who gave them the respect and dignity after they were given respect and dignity by Allah at the time when Allah Ta'ala sent them with a message. So he said, what do you know about Yunus? We know about him because they come from Ninwa. But here in Arabia, no one knows. What do you know? And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him and spoke to him so well that Adas paid homage to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam by kissing his head, hands and feet as the two sons of Rabia, as Shayba and Utbah bin Rabia watched from a distance. And when he came back to them, they said, Adas, you showed respect to that person the way you don't even show respect to us who are your masters. Is he going to corrupt your religion that you and your forefathers was? And why did you kiss this man's head? Why did you kiss his hands and his feet? And he replied, dear master, there is none on this earth better than him.
Allah.
He informed me about things that only a prophet could know. The master replied, vow be to you, O Adas, do not let him change your religion, for your religion is one that your forefathers were always on. Now this was a person who came and gave grapes to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a servant. And I want everyone, all our listeners out there, to start thinking. All our listeners, the people who work for us, or never mind the people who work for us in our homes, maybe the people who in our offices come and bring our tea and coffee. Maybe in that particular way they might be different from the people who work upon us. Maybe with the people who work for us, we will look upon them even lowly. But of course the people who come and give us tea and coffee in our offices, how do we treat with them? Will anyone ever go the distance and to the extent of speaking to them, knowing where they are? And everyone, let us put a challenge out there. The people who, for example, work in office spaces, and those people who get the people coming to bring your tea and coffee, how much do you know about the person who brings the tea and coffee? How different are the people who bring your tea and coffee from Adas who brought grapes to the Nabi of Allah? He, if you look at it in his situation, he was none other that brought grapes that the master had sent him with. But that little bit of time, it changed his life. Adas later on became, according to riwayat, he accepted, or at least he was acknowledged Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Utbah and his two masters were getting ready to go to Badr, Adas caught hold of the camel and said, please, I beg and I plead with you, don't go. They said, why? They said, you can never achieve victory over a prophet of Allah, and he is a prophet of Allah. Who are you going to fight against? My dear respected viewer, listeners, this is something that happened with a person whom the Nabi of Allah spent a very short period of time with. And look at what his situation is, and what our situation is with regard to the people whom we regard to be on the lower rung of community. And how much do we know with regard to them, and what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with Adas? That is the incident that the author has mentioned under the topic with slaves and servants, how you are supposed to respond and how you are supposed to react.
It's an interesting question you pose, Marana, that why people will not opt to talk to the people who are serving them. Now, what could be the possible reasons, Marana? Why would people adopt this approach?
Did you say that again?
I say it's an interesting question you raise, that people choose not to interact and converse with the people who are serving them tea or whatever it may be. What do you think, Marana, leads them to that action?
I don't know. Let us be complimentary for a change. Let's say that, listen, one is that you can say that, listen, it's looking down upon people. And maybe sometimes it is. I mean, this man is not in my same category. Why should I speak to him? I speak to people who are my equals. But sometimes I also get a feeling that it is just pure indifference. You don't give it thought. You don't give it thought that they are also human beings with normal emotions. They are also subject to the commands of Allah. They are also subject to accountability. Allah Ta'ala also expects them to bring iman. So all of those particular aspects are also in play and in tune with them, just as it is in tune with any other person. Sometimes we get a professional person who shows inclination and interest towards Islam. How much importance then we give it? This man is a professional, he's an intellectual, he speaks about Islam. You know, as if his coming to Islam is going to benefit Islam. No, no, no. No one Islam is going to benefit Islam. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيْهَ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Do you show favor upon Allah in Islam that you brought Iman? No, no, you have done no favor and you have not done no benefit to Islam. بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ. It is Allah Ta'ala's favors upon you that He has given you hidayat upon Islam. Not that you have benefited Islam. It is Allah Ta'ala's fadl and grace that He allows you to accept His religion, allows you to practice upon His religion, allows you to do some service for His religion. You have done nothing. It is Allah Ta'ala's fadl and grace that He has accepted you. So this particular aspect is perhaps sometimes a result of indifference, not realizing the potential. And I say something that I made mention a lot of times, is that Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمُ. We have granted respect and dignity to the son of Adam a.s. Every human being, by virtue of being a human being, is granted respect and dignity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, we are supposed to give dignity to what Allah has given dignity to. As I say that many a times, our ulama, when they interpret this verse, they also say that today you and I, we don't practice upon this ayat and verse because you and I, we practice upon giving respect to titles, giving respect to people whom we know. And that is not what is required from Islam. That is not what is required from the Quran. The Quran didn't say that I have granted respect and dignity to influential people. I have granted respect and dignity to titles. So you respect a person because he is a doctor, he is a business person, he is an alim, he is a maulana, he is an imam. But that is not what Allah Ta'ala requires from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have granted respect to human being, and every human being is worthy of respect. And I think perhaps two things come to mind in response to your question. One is sometimes, which is even worse, that a person does it because he doesn't care for the person, he looks down upon the person, and sometimes it can also be that it is just pure indifference. We don't pay attention to it, whereas we are supposed to pay attention to it.
It's an interesting question Mullah Ibrahim Baum poses. We're going to go for a quick commercial break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue. But the question we're asking you is that why are we indifferent towards people who are serving us at whatever level it may be, domestic level or at work level or whichever where it fits the discussion. We're asking you for your feedback, inshallah. We're also asking you for remedy, how we can actually remedy the situation. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International.
Support Crescent of Hope Operation Waterwell. Millions of people are suffering daily and are in need of your help. Donate generously by contributing towards a worthy cause. Deposit directly into Crescent of Hope. Lilla account 552-800-63188. Branch code 250-737. FNB Lanesia. Make that call now to Crescent of Hope Operation Waterwell. 011-854-1809. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
Experience the intensity of Al-Quds, the vibrancy of Mecca, and the serenity of Medina. Book your space on Freeway Travels, exhilarating December 3 Haram package. Prices from only 20,950 Rand per person for sharing. Contact us now to reserve your seat on this limited space offer. Freeway Travel on Monday, it's a matter of choice. Call 011-661-0111 or 082-378-790.
Wrap it, pack it, fill it, close it, store it, pour it, throw it, zip it, sip it, or just stash it. You've got it. Stash It Distributors, for all your packaging and baking requirements. Stash It Distributors, 6 Clare Road, Fordsburg, 011-492-0033.
Have you recently read the official Jamiat publication, Ar-Rashid? It is packed with global Islamic news, political perspective, valuable advice from Islamic luminaries, highlights of Islamic historical sites, and plenty more. Visit a Jamiat office in your area and get the latest copy today. Jamiat ul-Ulama, South Africa. Serving Allah by serving His creation.
This is a social program with Maulana Ibrahim Bum. Call 011-854-1548. Tweet at Ibrahim Bum.
We are speaking about the treatment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his subordinates, and specifically we are speaking about slaves and the people that were working for him. But Mulana, the author has touched on a book, on a chapter where the servant was not working for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, because if a person is working for you, feel kind of obliged to accept Islam because my master is asking me. So maybe you'll accept Islam just because of the employment purpose. But what's really important and interesting to note is that the servant did not work for the Prophet of Allah, yet he was so influenced.
That's exactly my point. When we said that we have slaves and servants, the point, or at least the inclination and the thought, went in the direction that maybe how do you deal with your own slaves and servants, which is also part and parcel of the topic. He was not against it, but here the same point: how do you deal with people of a particular class and category of people? And I think it's very important. I mean, I just say sometimes you see people coming and they bring host or they bring an important person, or there's a person who is a driver. I mean, this is an example: driver who drives someone, and the person sits at your house for 2, 3, 4 hours, right, while waiting for the important guest whom he had driven. And sometimes it happens we don't even have the etiquette of providing them with a glass of water.
Ajayim.
Now that goes, here Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with a das who brought him a plate of grapes, changed his entire life in maybe a short period of time.
Mm.
All by just asking him, where do you come from? What is your background? How? And then identifying with him, making him feel comfortable in the presence of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what must be the akhlaq? What were the words of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he comes back going to give a plate of grapes, and when he goes and gives a plate of grape, he comes back and tells his master, I've never seen anyone like that. He's truly a prophet of Almighty Allah. He told me things that only a prophet can tell me.
And what's really amazing, Manana, is that the Prophet of Allah made him feel comfortable, like you say, and he made him feel important. And understanding it purely from the servant's perspective, I mean, he takes it that nobody's going to ask about me, my well-being, who my family is. And he was taken aback, and he actually responded to the master saying that, the master asked him, how come you paying so much homage to the Prophet of Allah, and you don't do that for us?
Yes.
And this is the amazing thing, that he was taken aback by a simple gesture of just asking him, how are you and where are you from?
Right. You know, it's a very interesting one. I mean, how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with people is absolute. And maybe we can ask listeners, and do they feel, let's just ask and maybe throw the question out, how many of us out there know these aspects of our own, never mind others. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew about Adas, who had brought him a plate of grapes. How much do we know about the background of people who work with us? How do we know about the background of people who bring you coffee and tea in the office? Or, for example, have we been able to make them feel important? Have we been able to just to give them a sense of dignity and respect? And if, for example, he is working in a particular position, Allah Ta'ala says, "Nahnu qasamna baynahum ma'ishatahum," we distribute things amongst people, then that particular aspect is not something that is makes him a lesser human being. Allah has given him risk in that, but as far as the dignity of a human being, that's still, I mean, I've just been recently in programs that I've been doing programs on the delegations that came in the presence of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Fatah Makkah. Fascinating, Mawla, absolutely fascinating. There was, and one, and I would rather like to relate, although I would just like also listen.
Manana, yes. Can you take a caller quickly?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ji, Appa.
Mawlana, I truly believe that there is nothing more powerful than one human being reaching out to another. If I may mention, I know of a brother who runs a business. And because I'm a people's person, I frequent that place now and again. And I get down to talking to the staff. And the staff of this dealer, from the tea lady to mechanics to the drivers, talk so highly of their boss, really.
Mm-hmm.
And Mawlana, I personally know that the way he interacts, not only with them, but with all, it's so commendable. There may be a lot of other people who treat their workers with respect.
I know one person who is also a Musalli of mine and someone whom I have a lot of respect for. It's the same. The workers just sort of love him.
I know this brother wouldn't like me to speak about him, but I would specifically like to mention his name, and he's none other than Brother Firoz Saluji. Really, I truly admire him for the way he interacts with everybody.
Jazakumullah for that, sister.
Jazakumullah, Mulana.
Amazing.
Amazing, isn't it? I'll give another example from the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of the tribes that came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a tribe that came from Yemen. Now, when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those tribe came, there were various tribes that came from Yemen to in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One came from Kinda, and they are known as Kindis. And there are those that came, the Hamadun and the Ashariyin, and one of the Ashariyin is Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala, who is there. They were the ones who had a lot of hair on their body, and therefore they were known as Ashariyin, the people who were known as people who had to bear. And one of them that came, and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke very highly about them, and Sahaba were looking forward for them to coming, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Iman and Hikmah comes from Yemen, and the people of Yemen are soft-hearted people, and may Allah make it easy for the people of Yemen.
Ameen.
And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke so highly about them. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, people of Yemen have Iman and Hikmah, and they are soft-hearted people. Soft-heartedness is the basis of all good qualities. Hard-heartedness takes you away from good qualities. So when they came, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with them, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them gifts, and as they were going, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is there anyone left behind from your delegation? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, there's a youngster who's looking after our goods. There's a youngster, maybe this is something very similar to the one that I'm talking about at dusk. Ya Rasulullah, there is a youngster who is looking after our goods. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, present him, bring him here. So he came. He was a youngster who had tremendous amount of akhlaq, and he came with great respect to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me that Allah gives me contentment. Allah gives me contentment. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahumma aghfirhu warhamhu, oh Allah, forgive him, have mercy upon him, grant him contentment. Right? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went away, and they went away. The next year, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went for Hajjatul Wida. So in Hajjatul Wida, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the people of Yemen also came. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and he said that what happened to that youngster who asked to make dua? And I made dua that Allah Ta'ala grant him contentment. What happened to him? Now, after, first of all, specifically calling for one who was looking after the goods, normally we'll never do something like that. Forget asking him, then he coming, asking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make dua. 1 year afterwards, when the delegation of Yemen comes for Hajjatul Wida, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what happens to that youngster? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, that youngster has got so much contentment that if someone comes into our village and is prepared to give the entire world, this youngster won't even turn back into his direction seeking that world. Allah has granted him such contentment. Mona, can I tell you an amazing thing? This incident goes forward. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, when the people of Yemen came and joined him for Hajj, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked them, tell me about that youngster that the Nabi of Allah used to ask about. How is he feeling? So they also gave the same reply. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wrote to the governor of Yemen, Ziyad bin Labid, and said, oh Ziyad, look after that youngster.
Allahu Akbar.
Now that was an ordinary youngster whom we would never even take to glance in another way. And this is how the Nabi of Allah and his successor gave him such importance. Now that is our legacy. How much we are practicing upon the legacy, we ask ourselves, and we leave it to ourselves to judge.
Allahu Akbar. There's a tweet coming through from Brother Imtiaz Manana. It says, to be humble and friendly to superiors is your duty. To equals, it's courtesy. And to inferiors is nobleness.
MashaAllah. Mother, repeat that again.
To be humble and friendly to superiors is your duty. To equals, it's a courtesy. And to inferiors, it's a nobleness.
MashaAllah. To be humble to your superiors is a duty. Humble to your equals is...
Courtesy. And to inferiors is nobleness.
MashaAllah.
Because you're getting nothing from them, right?
Yes. And one of the signs of a great person is how he deals with people who cannot benefit him in any way.
Amazing. So, Mariah tells us that we are ought to be so warm to the people that just by our mere presence they should be drawn towards Islam.
Well, one of the aspects that I was listening to someone's talk, one he was giving one of them, and he said one of the aspects that has happened in our community and in the intellectual circles. He says prior, and it's an intellectual debate, but it's something that I found very interesting. He said prior, and of course I'm not undermining fiqh, for example, right? But he said, we have today made deen into fiqh. Our deen has become fiqh-orientated. Right? Ye karna hai, ye nahi karna hai, ye halal hai, ye haram hai, this is makruh, this is haram, this is permissible, jaiz, najaiz. And he said, previously, people used to gain knowledge from seerah. And today, our knowledge is fiqh-based. And I found it very, very amazing because, you know, when you start looking at aspects of seerah, many of the things we hardly know. But about aspects with regard to fiqh, by and large, everyone knows. So wherever you go in the world, people will not be discussing how Nabi Karim Sallallahu dealt with people like Adas or with this particular person. Right? People will be talking about halal and haram. Now, I'm not saying that he's wrong, but I'm saying, look at the focus and the priority. I normally say, and of course, this is our ulama have also made mention, Mufti Taqi Sahib says, he says, wherever you go in the world today, Muslims are fighting about halal and hilal. Wherever you go, they're fighting about what to eat and the hilal, the moon. So wherever we go, we're fighting about halal and hilal. Nevertheless, this aspects of seerah. Now, you know, Nabi Karim Sallallahu dealt with about three people who came, three delegations that came from different parts. Nabi Sallallahu called out for the people who were looking after the goods. Sometimes it had tremendous repercussion. In one instance, it didn't have a good repercussion. Because according to one riwayat, when the Bani Hanifa tribe came, Musaylama was the one who was looking after the goods. And Musaylama turned out to be a false prophet and caused great amount of harm to the Sahaba. I mean, how many Sahaba were made shaheed when they fought against Musaylama Kazab after Nabi Karim Sallam passed away? So Nabi Sallam, when he was giving gift to the Bani Hanifa, he said, is anyone who is left there? And he said, yes, our person looking after. So Nabi Karim Sallam said, that person is nonetheless in dignity and respect for him looking after the goods, give him also a share of the gifts. So Musaylama went back and said, you see, the Prophet of Almighty Allah said, I'm nonetheless for looking after the goods. So when he went back, he said, I'm equal. And he went to go and lay claim to prophethood after that. But oh, forget what he did. I'm just saying, look at how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with people that normally we won't even take another glance towards.
A message coming through Mulana, it reads, I have heard Mulana Umarji Rahmatullah Alayhi used to give fruit, etc. first to his workers when he passed, before he could take. When he passed away, they used to say how hard it is for them. He liked overloading them. Plati, some sort of food, right?
Let's say that again.
Okay, it says that I have heard Mulana Umarji Rahmatullah Alayhi used to give fruit, etc. to his workers first, and before he could take part of it. And when he passed away, they missed him a lot.
Yes, I mean, I've heard, wallahu alam, Allah knows, and people who might be listening from Durban might be able to verify, that most of the workers who work with Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, they all accepted Islam, subhanAllah.
Allah Akbar. And it wasn't by force, Mawlana?
No, definitely.
Amazing. 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548, the SMS line 488-55, alternatively, you can WhatsApp on the studio number 072-786-1548. We are discussing this at the moment, how to deal with your people, especially those people who are working for you at different levels, how can you influence them in the right way? Mullah, it's important. Ibadat forms one quarter of our deen. And three quarter of our deen is with regards to muamalat.
Definitely, sometimes something that you and I, we don't pay much attention to. How many people who were, for example, not regarded to be in the higher rungs of society, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with them with such great wisdom, tact, such great akhlaq, such great conduct, and they became the forerunners of Islam. They became the people who were prepared to sacrifice. One of the aspects with regard to any religion is that when a religion comes out, a new religion, and a religion that is based on truth, then certain things happen. You'll find this is a general trend. The firstly is that the poorer and the weaker sections of the community will be the first to accept on him. The people who have vested interest in the previous status quo or the previous dispensation, if you want to call it that, they always will be the one who will be the greatest opposition. So when you see Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam making and introducing Islam and the truth to the people of the world, people who had a vested interest were the people who stayed away from it. Abdullah bin Ubay was the one who was the leader of the Munafiq because he was supposed to be crowned the leader of Medina. So he had a vested interest. So he couldn't look beyond his vested interest. Abu Jahl had a vested interest. Abu Jahl used to tell people, we always used to compete with the Bani Hashim. And whenever they did something, we did something also equally good. If they fed the Hajis, we also fed the Hajis. If they gave water to the Hajis, we also gave water to the Hajis. Now if Bani Hashim claims a prophet amongst their ranks, where are we going to compete with them on that particular basis? So he had a vested interest in terms of opposing Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And normally the people who had nothing to lose, people who had nothing to lose in the previous and who had, were poor people, they were the ones who just came forward. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Dhar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were the people who first, Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were the people who were the first among the people, Ammar ibn Yasir, Yasir, Sumayya, people who were the poorer section, they came. And look at today, we, as much as we respect all the Sahaba, and it is compulsory upon us to respect every Sahabi, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared His pleasure with them till the day of Qiyamah in the Quran, which is immortalized till the day of judgment. So radiyallahu anhum wa radhu an is Allah's knowledge. Anyone who speaks bad about the Sahabi is speaking bad about Allah, because Allah says He is pleased with them. So if Allah is pleased with them and is mentioned in the Quran, that means it will be mentioned and read till the day of judgment. And if you say that Aliyadu Billah, Allah was pleased with them for a certain period of time and not afterwards, what you are saying, Allah Ta'ala's knowledge was not complete. Allah didn't know that afterwards they were going to turn against Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So while we show a respect to all the Sahaba, we also make a distinction between the people who accepted Islam in the beginning and the people who accepted Islam after Fatah Makkah. People who accepted Islam after Fatah Makkah are still respected, but they don't have the same category. Or the people who accepted Islam in the beginning, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. And the people who accepted Islam in the beginning are people who today, you and I, would not regard to be influential people of the community and society, because they were from the lower rungs of the community and society, yet in our religion, they occupy the highest position. Isn't it amazing?
Amazing.
The people whom you and I today, because of our mindset, will not regard to be the higher rank of people, in our deen, Allah gives them the highest rank because they were the people who brought Islam first, although they were from the lower rank of society.
Mm-hmm. We've got two callers on the line. Let's go to the first caller, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam.
Ji, brother.
You're speaking about Maulana Umar ji. What? Abdul Haq Umar ji. You know what? My father worked for him for 13 years.
I think that particular aspect is something that Allah Ta'ala knows. It is something that the brother has always made mention with regard to it. We only know about the good of people. We speak about the good of people. So then that particular aspect of Umar, Hazrat Maulana Umar Ji Rahmatullah Ali, people speaking about how he dealt with people and giving fruits is something that we remember.
Let's go to the next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ji, brother.
I would like to just inquire, find out something about the Qurban. Can the bones be given to dogs, or must the bones be planted, buried?
Unless if you plant it next year, you will get a proper Qurbani animal.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I used the wrong phrase. Should we bury it, or can we feed the dog also the bones?
It's permissible.
Jazakum Allah for it. Jibrana, as you were saying.
Yes, no, I was just saying that this particular, so the people whom today you and I would not regard to be the more influential people of community and society, yet on the basis of our deen, they are the greatest people. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Who are the سَابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ? By the very nature of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophethood, the people who first accepted Islam and the people who first brought iman upon him were the poorer sections of the community. The Bilal of the community, the Abu Dhar Ghaffari radiallahu ta'ala of the community, Sumayya, Ammar ibn Yasir, Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were the people who gave who gave added numbers to the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a time when the influential people did not. They brought iman afterwards.
Mm.
And I think, I'm not saying that obviously every sahabi is very great, but I mean, just look at it from that particular aspect. The people whom today you and I, and today, for example, if I give this example, someone would bring iman, and someone would bring speak about Islam, and someone asks you about Islam, who is a professional, who is a wealthy person, who is an influential person, how excited we get. I'm not. Maybe there is also good. There is a goodness of heart in it. There is an aspect of goodness in it because people say, "This person will come. It will be so nice. He's influential." But at the end of the day, if someone who is on the lower rung of society wants to accept Islam, do we show the same enthusiasm? But these are the very same people who gave beauty and dignity to Islam at a time when people were not prepared to accept Islam.
Hmm. An amazing treatment was given to these people, Marana, like in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At that time, Abu Sufyan and his friend, they intended to visit Umar ibn al-Khattab, so he told them, wait. And then a little while later, which people would say as the servants who accepted Islam came to visit Umar al-Khattab, and he came out of his way to come and greet these people and speak to them. So they took offense that these people, they are servants, they were servants of ours. Mm. And today Umar is giving them so much of respect over us.
Umar said, one of them said, Ajab Ali ibn Khattab, we are amazed at Umar ibn Khattab, he gives respect and dignity to our former slaves. And the other one said that, you know, it's not no fault of Umar. Umar is doing what Allah Ta'ala said, that they were given the call to accept Islam. They preceded us, so Umar gave them precedence. In the day of Qiyamah, because they preceded us on Islam, Allah will give them precedence. Mm. And once Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala saw Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala together, and he made this famous comment, "My master Abu Bakr, who freed my master Bilal."
Allah.
And he called Bilal my master, subhanallah. And yet Bilal was a person whom, according to the narrations, people don't even know much about his family, about his lineage, about his wealth.
Mm.
People, when they speak about his family, normally refer him to his mother. That particular aspect with regard to where he came from, who he was, what was his lineage, what was his great authority, or what was his great, you know, family, no one knows about it.
Mm.
But yet, whenever we speak about Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, our heads just bows down a little bit lower in respect and in dignity and in admiration and in every degree of saying, "Oh Bilal, what a great person you were."
Well, you are involved with Sirah very closely. I'm sure you came across the account of Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he just killed Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he won over his freedom from Hinda. So after that, he changed his attire and he came to Darun Nadwa to sit amongst the Quraysh. And suddenly they started looking at him very weirdly. They said, "Hey, look at this man. He now suddenly regards himself as equal to us.
Mm.
And he's sitting amongst us in Darun Nadwa." They said, "Hey, please leave our company. Leave immediately." And this was one of the factors that led to Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala accepting Islam afterwards, Munara.
Yes, and of course, how Nabi Karim saw, and of course, giving each and everyone importance was one of the special fortes and attributes of the Nabi of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, there are so many examples with regard to it that abounds in fitna, and Wahshi was one example. He was, although he killed and assassinated and martyred Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, expecting some sort of appreciation and gratitude from the people of Makkah who wanted him to do so, and he was offered such great rewards, he wasn't given that type of acceptability within that community. And yet Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who had killed him, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pleading with him. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote him letter after letter, "Oh Wahshi, accept Islam, you will be successful. Oh Wahshi, accept Islam, Allah Ta'ala will grant you the best." And every time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote him a letter, sent an ayat and verse of the Holy Quran, he used to say, "What am I going to benefit by bringing Islam? Everything Islam has prohibited, I have done. The Islam had said, don't drink alcohol, I have committed, drank alcohol. Islam had said, don't kill people, I have killed people. Islam had said, don't commit this, and I have committed this. What am I going to get?" And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to write him every time an ayat. First, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan salihan," he will repent, and we will bring iman. Does righteous deeds. Wahshi looks at the ayat and said, The ayat says, if I bring iman, if I do this, if I do that, then Allah will change. I don't have iman, I don't have amal salih, what am I going to change? Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote another ayat, Inna Allah la yaghfiru wa yushraka bihi, wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah won't forgive a person who associates partners to Allah. Other than that, if Allah Ta'ala wishes, Allah Ta'ala can forgive any other deed, if he so wishes. Washi, instead of taking, at that time, taking solace from the ayat says, the ayat said, if Allah wants, he will forgive. If Allah wishes, he will forgive. What Allah wishes for me? If Allah Ta'ala wishes, he can punish me, he can forgive me. I don't know what Allah wishes for me. Why must I accept Islam? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is pleading with the one who killed his uncle and was regarded to be in the lower rung of society. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote down the ayat, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah will forgive all sins provided you are sincere in repentance. And at that particular time, he said, I will now bring iman. And what he was so worried that when he came in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had tied his head with a scarf that no one could recognize him. And he only opened up his scarf in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And even then, when he showed his face, Sahaba took out the sword. Ya Rasulullah, washi, allow us to kill him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, leave him, leave him, leave him. I had called him, I have invited him. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh washi, tell me how you killed my uncle. Our ulama said, 8 years had passed from that particular time. And yet Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling him about this whole situation. And then eventually he bring him on. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't tell him, don't come to the masjid. He just said, don't come in front of me. Every time I'm going to see you, I'm going to be reminded about my uncle. But Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed him free access to come to the masjid. And because of the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala had saved him, and Allah ta'ala had made him among those that today we will say, Wahshi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu.
Radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Malala, jazakumullah for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to you in the future, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Sums up our discussion on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's treatment towards slaves and the servants. Amazing and fascinating indeed. That is why we say Islam did not spread by the sword, rather by the qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ultimately through the akhlaq of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Islam then spread to the four corners of the world. May we also become ambassadors of this religion by showing the true colors of its creed, inshaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.